Welcome to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Non-Traditional Pharmacist provides the pharmacist professional ideas to help you think outside the box. Pharmacy is evolving fast, and this podcast is all about the evolution of the pharmacist role in healthcare. And now, here is the Non-Traditional Pharmacist team, Lynn, Matt, and Nick.
Welcome, everyone. Matt Paterini here with the Non-Traditional Pharmacist, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Joined today, actually, by a fellow Pharmacy Podcast co-host, Dr. Joseph Friedman, co-host of the Medical Podcast Show, all about medicinal cannabis. And we're going to learn all kinds of stuff about that today. And we actually have so much in common with Joseph Friedman here. Not the cannabis part. I wanted that to come out wrong. You know, more on the non-traditional pharmacy side of things. More on pharmacy podcasting side of things. And actually, Joseph shares a connection with a fellow non-traditional pharmacist in that he has a degree from Lake Forest College. Lynn Sweetie graduated with her bachelor's from Lake Forest College. So a lot in common with Joseph, and we're really excited to have you on the show today. He is the founding member and principal of Professional Dispensaries of Illinois, PDI Medical. And this is really a topic we could have a whole series on, a full webinar on, but we'll keep it at a high level today, talk about the business side of things, talk about the clinical side of things, and all the controversy that goes along with it. So welcome, Joseph. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, Matt. I'm thrilled to be on board here, and hopefully we're going to have a pretty productive conversation and give some good information to people out there.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Excited to have you on. And let's get right to the questions. And we really like to start with getting a background, getting an overview of you as a pharmacist, kind of where you started in the field of pharmacy, where you've been, and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Well, I graduated from University of Illinois College of Pharmacy several years ago. And so for the most part, my career was at the beginning working in retail, working in hospital. I was director of pharmacy at one point, and then I decided to get an advanced degree in business, and that opened up some doors in the corporate world, and I really found, you know, a lot of job satisfaction being in the corporate world, but that job satisfaction kind of faded over time as I got subjected to some very evil bosses and some issues, and then also, of course, getting older, you know, and losing, you know, having your job blow up. You know, there's not a whole lot of opportunity out there for older pharmacists, even in back in retail. So so the whole idea of medical cannabis was something that, oh, this could be interesting. It's coming to Illinois. Let's go ahead and while I'm working part-time, and that's what I could find at the time, was a part-time job in a compounding pharmacy. Let's just see if I can get a license and then change the path of my career.
Okay, interesting. So it's kind of from corporate to medical cannabis. And, you know, we say medical cannabis. What exactly does that include? Because I think sometimes it has kind of maybe a negative connotation even, and people don't really understand exactly what is under the umbrella of medical cannabis. So if you can expand on that a little bit.
Well, anytime we hear Attorney General Jeff Sessions or any opponent to cannabis speak out, they talk about marijuana. And so, you know, the whole idea of marijuana, it's certainly slang. I think it was back there in the 30s and was vilified. So what I like to use, I like to use the term cannabis because cannabis is more scientific. It's more, you know, 20th century. And so your question about what is medical cannabis? Well, you know, what it is, it's not that stuff that comes in a baggie. Okay. It's got a, like a food label on it. It's got consistency. We know exactly what the cannabinoid profile is. We know if it's sativa indica hybrid, and we can actually get consistency. If we find something that works for a patient with a particular product, we can get that product over and over again.
Okay. Okay. So it's, you know, that's what we like to talk about. You know, people kind of view it in one light, and maybe it's not exactly what they think it is. And I'm sure it's subject to all kinds of regulations and criteria that it must meet to be a certain pharmaceutical grade and et cetera, et cetera. So what sort of regulations is it subject to? And, you know, what's that process like?
Well, you know, regulations are going to vary state by state. And, you know, the issue there is, you know, there's no one state that calls all the shots. And because we have a federal government that is adamantly against it at this point, it's kind of a hodgepodge. So I can speak to what we're doing in Illinois. Illinois is probably, and it was rated by Americans for Safe Access to have the number one cannabis program in the country. Now, I don't believe we do because we only have 30,000 patients after 2 years. So there's something wrong with this program. Pennsylvania is just getting started and they already have 12 or 14,000 patients on day one. So what's wrong with this picture? So, but we do have products that are high quality, no insect legs, no pesticides, no heavy metals. And so our products are very good. And that in itself speaks volumes for a good program.
Okay. What about the states that are adopting medical cannabis? You mentioned Pennsylvania being a little late to the game or quick adopters. What's kind of the landscape looked like since you've gotten involved in this area of pharmacy?
Well, you know, we've seen more states go adult use or recreational, and then we've seen our attorney general come out and rescind the Cole memorandum, which provided protections for those businesses. So what's really happened is there's probably is a little bit of fear now for the eight states that have adult use laws in place. The FAR Blumenauer amendment is still active, and it was extended through March. And this is an amendment that protects the medical side of this business, not the recreational side.
Okay. So adapting, evolving, ever-changing. What's the clinical role of medical cannabis in pharmacy? Is it, you know, what settings is it typically seen in? And how are people using this today?
Well, that's a great question. The dispensary that I own and operate and run in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, is unique. It's the only medical cannabis dispensary that has healthcare providers working in them. I'm a pharmacist. I've got two other pharmacists on board. I've got a nurse that comes in there on Mondays. So, you know, what would a patient expect to walk into? Well, you're going to walk into something different if you walk into a dispensary in Michigan or Colorado or California. It's going to be very different, even in Illinois. But if you walk into my dispensary, you're going to see something that very much looks like a doctor's office. Where patients come in, they fill out an intake form, very similar to what they would fill out for the first time going into a doctor's office. Demographics, family history, exercise, most importantly, medications that they're on. We want to take a look, a hard look at the medications. Oftentimes patients have side effects that they think are, that's just, you know, the way they feel, but it's really drug interactions that they've been experiencing for years, taking two drugs that cause these interactions together, or these symptoms. So we want to also check for drug interactions with cannabis. There are some serious ones, but for the most part, cannabis is not totally benign. I mean, there are some dangers. We want to keep it out of the hands of kids, with developing brains. It's not a good thing. So I'm not sure that's sort of a long answer to your question, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a good answer. And it actually sounds more like a clinic, you know, PDI, Professional Dispensaries of Illinois, dispensaries, have you considered the term clinic to be associated with your practice?
Well, yeah. I mean, people walk in. We've got a waiting room. We actually do something that no other dispensary does, and we do fingerprinting and passport photos, which is required for patients to submit their applications. So I have full-time staff that does that. And then once they come in, we've got consultation rooms. We sit down. I've sat down for up to 2 hours with these patients. A lot of people come in and they're just very nervous. You know, they remember Woodstock. They remember the 60s or the 70s. They remember Reefer Madness. This is not what they want. They don't want to get high.
Right.
And so, so what we have to do is set, you know, give them good information that sets their mind at ease. Go through Cannabis 101, the dosing algorithms. You know, let them know that, you know, we're pharmacists and we're there to help them and care for them and walk them through the process. And I think that's what differentiates our dispensary from so many more.
Yeah, it sounds like setting expectations, some education. Do you think that's kind of the differentiator that sets you apart from other dispensaries? And what common criticisms or what's the most challenging aspect that you run into with patients that come into your practice?
Well, the challenging aspect is, you know, people have to get fingerprinted. Okay, so the application process is expensive. you know, one of the other challenges is a lot of patients' doctors aren't behind them. You know, they don't want to stick their neck out. They don't want to do the certification, which is needed in Illinois. So, you know, a lot of these patients are high and dry as far as, you know, I need this. But, and then one of the other challenges is it can take up to 120 days now once you submit the application to get your medical cannabis card. So if you're in pain, that's a hell of a long period of time to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the general consensus in the pharmacy community? Is it being widely accepted, the practice with medical cannabis? Is it, are you finding roadblocks or people viewing it negatively? Or what's the general thought there?
Great question. And you know what, I started giving presentations to pharmacy groups and associations about 4.5 years ago. And I always start off my presentations with an informal survey question. You know, you're all pharmacists in the audience. You know, can I have a show of hands for those that believe we should have pharmacist involvement in this industry? And then I go on to say, well, you know, and you know, by the end of the presentation, I hope I could change some minds. But 4.5 years ago, half the hands would go up. More recently, I gave a presentation, and what is one of the first presentations at a national pharmacy convention, NCPA, National Community Pharmacists Association in Orlando, 200 hands went up.
Wow.
So there's a groundswell of interest, and you know, at the end, there's never enough time for Q&A. One of the first questions I got when we started the Q&A is, you know what, I'd really like to get into this industry, but I don't want to be taken away in handcuffs. You know, what can you tell me about, you know, am I going to be safe?
Right.
And that's an important concern because they have their pharmacy license. They don't want to lose that to jump into something that can be very lucrative, but at the same time, very dangerous.
Right. What are other career opportunities out there for pharmacists in the medical cannabis world?
This is it. This is it. This is, you know, well, consulting. I have a consulting organization called Canna RPH. And so that's available. We have a website. So consulting, but you know what? You're not going to be a pharmacist and consulting in this industry with any credibility if you don't have practical experience in a dispensary. So the opportunities for pharmacists in this business are probably to be in on the dispensing side of a dispensary.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to those pharmacists looking to get involved in that area of pharmacy? What would be some initial first steps, maybe some places to learn more? What would you recommend to them?
Well, what I do right now, because I have relationships with three colleges of pharmacy, and I have pharmacy students that come and do clinical rotations, I send them out an email, and the email is comprehensive. It goes through everything that they need to prepare to come in and hit the ground running on their first day. So a lot of links, a lot of good information. So I'm forgetting your question. I keep on talking. What was it again, Matt?
The question was, what advice would you give to people that are interested in medical cannabis, not really sure how to get started, maybe want to learn a little bit more about what it is all about, and then maybe take a couple initial steps to get on that path? What would you suggest they do?
Well, if your state is currently considering it, but you know, maybe there's some legislation that has been introduced, definitely get involved. I wouldn't get involved with the Board of Pharmacy. I'd probably go to the Pharmacists Association in your state and just say, hey, look, medical cannabis is coming. I'm a pharmacist. I think we should have a mandate for pharmacists being in dispensaries. That's happened in Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, Minnesota, Arkansas, and there's one other that I can't think of right now.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about PDI Medical as a business, as a clinic. It sounds like a really unique, interesting practice setting. Walk us through how that all became even a business and how the PDI Medical story started.
Well, it started when I was watching 60 Minutes and I just saw the, you know, the Green Rush in Colorado, and I go, oh, that'd be cool. I knew it was coming to Illinois. And so what I did is I started reaching out to people and saying, hey, what do you think? Want to get into this industry? I always had a plan B because plan A's oftentimes do not work out. So plan A was a couple of guys. One was a pharmacist, one that owned a pharmacy. Good guys, but then they got a little freaked out because of the tax consequences, 280E, which we can talk about if there's time. Mm-hmm. But they just decided that this was never going to make money and was going to be a disaster. So, but all the while, I had my plan B group queued up, and within a week, I had a new group with another pharmacist, two lawyers, and a boatload of money to be able to put together an application and three applications, and then open up a dispensary if we were successful.
Okay. What's your role in PDI Medical? I mean, are you sole owner? Are you working with other partners? And how does the dynamic play with the rest of your team?
Well, the rest of the team, again, another pharmacist and two lawyers. The other pharmacist, unfortunately, we have one partner. And, you know, Matt, I'm going to give you a very, and what I want the audience to hear is the worst ship that you could sometimes get on is a partnership. So I've got, one partner who's just been toxic from the get-go. And has basically, the other pharmacist just got tired of that. So he's been trying to sell. He's ready to get out. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So the one toxic partner, the lawyer, unfortunately is still involved, but they're not involved at all as far as daily operations. The other lawyer, good guy, he does all the back end, the P&Ls, all the reports, the legal matters, things like that. And I'm there every day. I'm operations. I'm running it. I'm hiring people. I've got a great staff that has been with me almost since, you know, day one, 2 years ago. So I know I've hired the right people. And just, you know, the business of medical cannabis, you know, wasn't an easy road. There was a lot of hurdles.
Are you hiring currently?
We are currently fully staffed, but at the same time, I am always keeping my eyes open. The business in Illinois is one click above life support. I think I mentioned we have a governor that's not very supportive of it. We have, 30,000 patients after 2 years. I think we're one governor away from having a good program. I think I might have said that already. But and if I didn't, I'm saying it with explanation points. We need to have a governor who supports the program rather than trying to kill it. And so I think, that the future is to expand the program with additional conditions. We don't even have chronic pain in Illinois as a condition. So that's the number one reason why people use cannabis around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, pain management's huge. It sounds like, there's some challenges regulatory wise and governmental wise. Where is PDI Medical currently in your mind? Where is PDI Medical currently, and where would you like to be in the next 5 to 10 years? And what do you need to do to get there?
5 to 10 years. I think the dispensary is going to do very well and survive. I'd like to take the pharmacy model and expand it into other states, Michigan, Florida, Indiana. Indiana right now is submitted legislation. And I can envision having a professional dispensaries of Indiana, perhaps maybe 2 or 3 years from now. So as far as where I want to be in 5 years, I'm doing a lot of other things having to do with putting together educational content, doing the medical podcast show, mm-hmm. the consulting group that I put together with another pharmacist and a lawyer. So, I'm going to be keeping busy.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like you have your hands full, a lot of different projects, a lot of great projects going on. How do you prioritize?
As far as prioritizing, I mean, there's certain aspects of my life that are out of balance right now. I mean, I've got to work on my marriage a little bit more. My kids are grown up, so that's okay. But as far as prioritizing, right now I've got a great crew and I'm starting to step away a little bit to work on some of these other initiatives. And I want to be able to, in fact, I'm leaving for Pennsylvania on Thursday. There's a dispensary, the first dispensary to open up in Pennsylvania. That's one I consulted for. They got a license. I'm going to help them in their first week of being open. They're going to be inundated, and they asked me to come and help them out for 5 days to see patients and to get them up and running.
That's great. Taking your expertise, spreading the word, helping other people get up and running to a level where they need to be to practice it in an effective way. You mentioned before some of the business challenges with the medical cannabis world, and specifically tax issues. Could you expand on some of the tax consequences or implications around medical cannabis?
Sure. IRS has a rule. It's called 280E. 280E was basically to catch the bad guys, the Al Capones of the day, because they were avoiding paying any federal taxes on all their illegal businesses. So 280E was penalizing those people. So, 70 years later, 280E is still looming on a business that is a Schedule 1. And right now, we cannot take any regular business expense deductions. We have to, the only deduction that we can take is on our cost of goods sold. And so we can't take phones and insurance and lights and everything else. So we're going to be paying a lot of federal taxes, and it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that's one of the more challenging things. And, you know, boy, it sounds like there's so many different aspects to this. And, you know, like I said, we could go on for a whole series, and, you know, the medical podcast show does exactly that, I'm sure, and does a fantastic job. We like to ask all of our guests in the non-traditional world, because you have an interesting perspective, what is your take on the pharmacy field in general? You know, where do you see it heading in the future? Where do you see it today?
Well, you know, unfortunately, and I've had these discussions with pharmacists that want to come work for me, it's become kind of a factory job. I mean, a lot of the big box retailers, it's numbers, it's filling prescriptions. And I think there's a lot of issues with that. Pharmacy today is a little bit more challenging, although there are some pharmacy positions. When I was in compounding pharmacy, I thought that was one of the better retail positions to be in. My partner in the consulting group, he was an ER pharmacist. So he was, I thought that was very interesting. He was happy with that, but his passion was in medical cannabis, so he wasn't happy. But I think pharmacy has some challenges. About a year ago in the Chicago Tribune, an article came out. I opened up the paper, and it was the front page, and it was just how pharmacists were making mistakes filling prescriptions. So there was a couple of professors from the University of Washington. The name is escaping me right now. John Horn and I believe another PharmD. And they came up with four or five different combinations of two drugs that, when taken together, pose a great danger to the patient. And what they did is they gave these prescriptions to several reporters who walked into Walgreens, CVS, Osco, independent pharmacies. And 52% of the time, those prescriptions were filled. The worst performers were the independent pharmacists missing that drug interaction 70% of the time. Walgreens did the best, only missing it a third of the time.
Okay. Wow.
So we have a challenge.
Isn't that unbelievable? The field is certainly in an era of change and constant evolvement. And, it's really going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out and how everything changes over the next several years. But we certainly appreciate all the help and everything that you're contributing to the field of pharmacy, Joseph. And thanks for tuning in this episode of The Non-Traditional Pharmacist. Be sure to tune into the Medical Podcast Show with Dr. Joseph Friedman. Please leave a comment below this post and connect with Dr. Friedman on the Pharmacy Network. Thanks again, and we will talk with everyone next time. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for listening to The Non-Traditional Pharmacist. Be sure to share this podcast with your work associates, your professional network, and remember, always be thinking outside the pill box.